We're all with Roe Conner's on.
This is a western section.
Yeah.
These people don't know New Jersey like we know.
Yeah, actually missing that Ramsey.
You are a beautiful woman. Literally, everything about you I love, except for the hair and the mocking.
Sorry.
You know, so I don't have to stand. I'm not standing just there. Just I'm going to stand there next to my friend. Are you from New Jersey?
No, I'm from upstate New York, so it's
is that
like
how you start your conversation with anyone?
Or like, what is your connection to me?
I just need to establish voter or not voter. So I have to
yeah,
right
he
right
can
away.
Forget about me.
Yeah, so I don't pander to anybody who's not.
Let's not waste our time.
What's up with this?
I guess we're concentrating by.
Yeah, by
I don't know.
Are you a band in
I'm
you should be standing
close
with
you.
Let's get this
long section, yes. Are you from Menlo Park?
Yeah. California.
I know Menlo Park.
Yeah.
California.
We're all in Menlo
Park. Yeah, you're the goose.
Like,
yeah.
Menlo Park?
Yeah.
Is that your hockey?
I'm the most boring college I've ever had.
So I
passed the Goose
Way. I mean, at least you got off campus. We don't do that anymore.
I went to Menlo.
You did? Okay, I know the school. Yeah. How about you, sir? You should stand way over there. How are you?
Good.
I'm good.
And now I'm at
LTV. Sign holding.
Of course I know Jeff.
Yeah.
I just wanted to think of
that. Well, are any Virginians here?
That's wonderful. Where are you?
I used to
let's go.
Okay.
Where?
There we go.
How are you, sir?
It is a beautiful day.
What?
Absolutely.
Always a
great day.
I'm Tina Smith.
Tina's down with Keith and
Mason. Did you go to high school?
No.
Who is
I mean, I know all my constituents.
Hi everyone, we're going to go ahead and get started.
Right.
Hello. Thank you all for joining us here at our nation's capital on this beautiful fall day in D.C., and thanks to everyone who is joining us online as well. My name is Tiernan Sittenfeld. I'm the Senior Vice President for Government Affairs at the League of Conservation Voters. Woo! Thank you all. I'm here today on behalf of LCV, Climate Power, the Climate Action Campaign, and people in every state and district across this country who are calling on Congress to make once-in-a-generation progress on the climate crisis, environmental justice, and good-paying union jobs. As our nation reels from this summer's deadly and devastating fires, heat, drought, floods, and storms, as we reckon with long-standing racial and environmental injustice, and as the President prepares to head to international climate negotiations, it has never been more important or more urgent for Congress to address the code red for humanity that is the climate crisis. Fortunately, we have a truly incredible lineup of climate champions here today, and every single one of them is all in to pass the Build Back Better Act and to ensure that our nation is firmly on track to cut climate pollution in half by 2030, the goal that the President has set and that climate and that science and justice require. There have been several recent analyses, which I hope you all have seen, that show that there are multiple ways for Congress to maximize climate ambition. We can and we must meet this critical test. We must cut climate pollution in half by 2030. The tireless leadership of both Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Schumer, who are going to be here together today, shows just how important it is, how intent Congress is on meeting this moment, on going big on climate, jobs, and justice. We are also thrilled to be joined by so many other climate champions. All of them deserve a full paragraph of their championship for these critically important issues, but in the interest of time, we're going to get going with hearing from them and their powerful remarks. I will say who we're going to hear from over the course of the next little while. In addition to Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Schumer, this is in alphabetical order by Senate and House, Senator Cory Booker, Environment and Public Works Committee Chair Tom Carper, Senator Martin Heinrich, Senator Ben Ray Lujan, Senator Tina Smith, Select Committee Chair Kathy Castor, Representative Andy Kim, Representative Ro Khanna, Representative Donald McEachin, Representative Joe Neguse, Representative Melanie Sansbury. There may be a couple of surprise appearances as well, but now I am so delighted to turn it to the most pro-environment, pro-climate action speaker we've ever had, by far, Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Thank you very much, Tiernan. I accept that compliment on behalf of the House Democrats, who are the most pro-environment House Democrats we've ever had. Actually, most pro-Congress House of Representatives we've ever had. And I'm here today to salute you all for the grassroots work that is being done to make sure that when we build back better, it is truly better for the children. And for the children, we must save this planet that we will pass on to future generations with great responsibility. It would be a dereliction of duty to build the infrastructure of America without doing so in a green way that protects the planet. And that is exactly what Build Back Better does. It will help us reach our goals, President Biden's goals. When I say to President Biden how important this is, you don't have to tell me. He said, I was the first legislator in the Congress to introduce legislation for addressing the climate crisis. And he did that in 1986. So this is a high priority for him. So we're talking about creating good-paying jobs. This is about jobs. We're creating honoring our responsibilities to our children. We're talking about health issues, clean air, clean water. We're talking about jobs issues, being preeminent in the green technologies throughout the world. We're talking about a security issue. Our security experts tell us that the conflicts that can spring from competition for habitat and resources that spring from drought and famine and all of the challenges that are faced, rising sea levels, drying up of rivers, encroachment of deserts and all the rest, that can be a cause for conflict. So healthcare, jobs, security, values. Again, if you believe, still I, that this is God's creation, we have a moral responsibility to be good stewards. But even if you don't share that view, we all share the view that we have a responsibility to the children for the future. I last weekend was at a pre-COP meeting in Rome with a G20, and again at a NATO meeting the next day in Portugal, and in every meeting it's about this issue, about climate, and all leading up to Glasgow. And we're so proud, Glasgow, that the president is going to be going there. He will go there with great pride, because we will pass legislation that enables him to not only meet but beat our goals, and to do so in a way that helps other developing countries, poorer countries, meet their goals as well. So I'm honored to be here with so many House members. I don't want to say this in alphabetical order. It could be Kathy Castor, chair of our select committee, Don McEachin, a member of it, and actually he's worked on these issues in the Virginia State Legislature before he even came to Congress, Brokana, Jonah Goose, Andy Kim, and our newest member, Melanie Stansbury, a scientist who comes bringing that background to this priority, which is a priority for her in the Congress. So I thank our friends in the House and in the Senate for this. I wish it would be strongly bipartisan, as it is in the country. In the meantime, let's thank the League of Conservation Voters. Tiernan, thank you for your leadership, because without the outside mobilization, none of the good things can happen in the best possible way. We can do all of our internal maneuvering to make progress, but the outside mobilization means everything. So thank you to League of Conservation Voters, all of the organizations, all the volunteers who have weighed in. And thank you to the children who've made their voices heard on this. Members of Congress on the other side of the aisle, well, all of us can learn a lot from the children, because the future belongs to them, and they know that the planet has to be healthy for the children. So thank you, and it won't be long. We'll pass this legislation. I yield back. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I guess it is almost afternoon, and it is the moment. It is the hour where we must muster the will and the fortitude and the energy, literally, to take action on the climate crisis that is before us.
Yes.
Thank you so much to LCV and to Climate Power and Climate Action Campaign and all of the activists that have made this issue one of the most important issues facing our country, and drawing attention to people, making people understand what a big, big deal this is. We are at a crucial moment, and in Minnesota we see this. We saw this summer in fires burning in Minnesota's boundary waters, shutting down this most precious place. We saw it in a massive drought that swept across great swaths of my state. And we know that we have the tools to address this climate crisis. We must take action now. And we know what to do. The president has described for us how we can move forward and reduce our carbon emissions by 50% in the next 10 years. That is non-negotiable. We must get that done. When we do this, this is about how we innovate in this country. This is about how we improve our health in this country. This is about how we create millions of jobs in this country. This is about how we put the United States on the forefront of a technology revolution that is going to add up to $23 trillion over the next 10 years. In that fight, I want the United States of America to lead and not follow. That is the opportunity before us. Now, I want to leave you with a story that has always galvanized me when it comes to this most precious issue to me. When I was still Lieutenant Governor, I had a visit paid to me by a group of young climate activists that were organized by the amazing Arctic explorer Will Steger. These young activists came to visit me in the impressive and ornate Governor's Reception Room at the Minnesota State Capitol, a room that was truly designed to inspire, but also to intimidate. But those young activists, like the folks behind me today, came in and they told me how scared they were about what was going to be happening to their futures, to their globe, to their lives. And they asked me, they looked me right in the eye, and they said, "Tina, what are you going to do? How are you going to use your power to take action in this moment?" And I never forgot that. And I know my colleagues behind me are feeling this
moment of import as well. How are we going to use our power to get the change that we need on climate action in this country? So to everybody here, all especially the activists with us, use your power to get the change that we need right now, and we stand with you. Thank you so much.
All right, Senator Smith, thank you for your leadership when it comes to climate action. Thank you, LCV Climate Action Campaign and Climate Power, for bringing us all together. I am so proud, as the chair of the House Select Committee on the Climate Crisis and a representative of the state of Florida, to be standing with so many champions who are standing up for the investments in clean energy, probably the largest package ever in the history of this Congress when it comes to investing in clean energy and resiliency for all Americans. Because through the Build Back Better agenda, we intend to create millions of jobs, lower the cost for American families, and answer the moral and scientific imperative to act on climate now. See, as Tiernan said, we're at a code red moment. Just think about the fact that this summer we lived through the hottest month in the history of the planet. Plus, all of the climate-fueled disasters that many of our neighbors suffered through this summer. We had 18 climate-fueled major disasters, already the second highest number in history, on track to unfortunately be the most costly year. It cost our neighbors, communities, and the infrastructure back home more than $104 billion. And unless we act, it is going to get worse. So that's what we talk about, is this is our code red moment. But at this moment, we have an incredible opportunity. And we understand this profound responsibility. Because for the first time in a decade, right, Ed Markey, we have a chance to take climate action and put Americans to work building the electric cars, expanding and upgrading the electrical grid, making electricity cheaper for families and businesses all across America. We are not going to miss this chance to deliver. And by the way, the House has done its job. We've delivered on these investments. Thank you, Speaker Pelosi, for your bedrock commitment to climate action. We've drafted strong climate policies to meet the president's goal of slashing emissions by half by 2030. We've ushered a robust bill through our committees to create millions of jobs and secure environmental justice. And we're going to keep fighting until that bill, the Build Back Better Act, lands on the president's desk, a bill that will turn all of those climate solutions into law. And let me say, history is not going to judge us by the price tag, however that's debated, which we all know will be paid for without raising taxes on middle class or working class families. No, history is going to judge us by our determination to do the right thing at the right time before it's too late. And that time is now. So next, I'm going to turn it over to another climate champion, my good friend and colleague, Congressman Ro Khanna.
Thank you so much for your leadership. Thank you for having me here. We have such great climate champions. I will be brief to make three simple points. First, we have to end fossil fuel subsidies. There is no justification. Greta Thunberg was in front of our committee, and she said it's one thing for Congress to not take affirmative action for renewable energy. But how in the world can you be putting your thumb on the scale of fossil fuels? It makes no sense. So we need to make sure that those fossil fuel subsidies are eliminated. Second, we need to speak plainly about CCS. You know, the former Prime Minister of Australia was on CNBC. I don't know if you saw that. I won't be as blunt as he was at what he said, but the bottom line is it doesn't work. Let's just talk about the science. This idea that you're going to separate CO2 from the other gases, then we're going to pipe it, then we're going to put it under the ground, and then we're going to make sure that it never escapes the ground, it just hasn't worked. It's been far more expensive. You know what's going to happen to people's gas prices if you actually were to to subsidize that. It would be $8 a gas, a gallon. And so what we need to do is be honest in this country that the solution is an investment in renewable energy. The solution is energy efficiency. The third point is we have finally, on October 28th, coming before Chairman Maloney and my committee, all of the big oil CEOs, Chevron CEO, Exxon CEO, BP CEO, Shell CEO, and the CEO of the Chamber and API. And they need to account to the American public. Why is it that they denied time after again the climate crisis when they knew that that was taking place, when their own scientists said that it was taking place? And why do they continue to engage in climate disinformation? Because we're not going to solve the climate crisis until we tackle the climate disinformation crisis. I want to thank the president for his leadership and all of the climate leaders here, and know that we're going to make progress on this issue. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Congressman Andy Kim from the New Jersey 3rd Congressional District. I represent a district that Trump won twice. I'm one of only seven Democrats left in the House of Representatives that represents a district Trump won in 2020. So I've had a lot of people asking me, a lot of reporters asking me over the last couple weeks, are you concerned about voting on a big package that's trying to address our climate change? Are you scared about that kind of investment? And I just want to stand here before you and say no, because it's the right thing to do. It's absolutely what we need to get done. This is not a time for the politics. This is not a time for you to, for me or others to be thinking about how is this going to affect my race in 2022. It is not the time for that kind of thinking, because the date that I'm thinking about is not 2022. The date that I'm thinking about is what kind of world are my 4 and 6 year old baby boys gonna grow up in? What will the world look like in 2030, 2040, 2050? So if you wanna ask me what date I'm thinking about, it's not 2022, it's about the date in which I can say and look my kids in the eye and say, we have done everything we humanly can to give you the kind of future and the healthy planet that you deserve. And that's something that in my district, people understand. That a lot of people ask me, well, surely your district's divided on this issue. And I tell you, they are not. This district that voted for Trump twice understands the challenges of climate change. It is a district that got crushed by Superstorm Sandy. You might remember that iconic image of a roller coaster in the middle of the ocean. That's my district. Thousands of people were displaced. And most recently, just a few weeks ago, we had tornadoes going through my district as Ida passed through. We need the change now, and people in my district, Democrats and Republicans, all agree upon a bold climate agenda for us to be able to pass right now, and I'm going to do my part in this. 10 years ago, at this time, I was coming back from at my time in Afghanistan. 7 years ago, I was working at the White House on the counter-ISIS fight, and I saw what it is that our country will do to mobilize for a national security crisis that threatens lives. This is a bigger moment and a greater threat than anything I ever worked on before in national security, and we have to rise to that challenge. So thank you so very much for joining us here today. I want to turn it over to my senator, Senator Cory Booker.
All right, I was supposed to be after Neguse. In other words, I was supposed to be the caboose after Neguse. But I am the warm-up for Heinrich. But I'm just really excited to be here. I love the League of Conservation Voters. I am so grateful that we have a core of this country, that the majority of people are together in understanding that we are not dealing with a climate crisis someday, somewhere. We're dealing with a climate crisis everywhere, today, right now. There is a pressing urgency in this moment. We cannot wait. Because rural communities right now are facing crop losses, severe droughts, flooding, shifting planting and harvesting times. We can't wait, because Western communities have faced the threat of rapidly spreading wildfires, many of them losing their homes, some of them losing their lives. We can't wait, because urban communities are suffering from the heat island effects, where people are vulnerable. People are dying from heat stroke. We can't wait, because coastal communities and other communities that are prone to flooding are seeing historic weather events, 100-year storms happening every year. We can't wait. This is the time that, Heinrich, you're supposed to yell that out when I say it.
We
can't wait, because communities like the one I go home to, black and brown, low-income communities, who are most vulnerable to climate change and for decades have disproportionately suffered from pollution. We can't wait. Thank you. Because no community in America can afford it when it comes to dealing with climate change. To wait means more cost, more suffering, more death, and more destruction. We must pass this Build Back Better plan. It is plain and simple. This isn't a right or left issue. This is a right or wrong. This is our moment in history. We are at a crossroads, and we can't wait. And so I'll tell you right now, as we look at this bill in the final hours of negotiation, we can't cut funding for natural climate solutions like protecting old growth forests, planting millions of trees in urban areas, and restoring our coastal wetlands. We can't cut conservation funding that makes farmers part of the solution, leading us out of this crisis, putting guardrails to make sure our money is being used to help family farmers and not support the destructive practices of factory farms and CAFOs. It means we can't cut in this negotiation environmental justice provisions that are so critical, like cleaning up Superfund sites, lead paint remediation, getting lead pipes out of the ground, and rebuilding our wastewater infrastructure. I tell you, this is a moral moment in America. We will be judged by generations yet unborn. We must seize this moment. It is a carpe diem moment for our country, and I believe that together, Democrats will come together, will rise up, and live up to this challenge we have at this point in history. But at this moment, and today, I have the pleasure of bringing up the wise man from the West. I have the pleasure of bringing up the ambassador of Albuquerque. I have the pleasure of bringing up the birthday boy in his birthday week, my friend, much better looking than me, more hair, Martin Heinrich.
Thank you, Brother Booker. Say it again, we can't wait. Come on, we can't wait. Who wants climate action now?
We do.
Who wants to build back better?
We do.
Who wants more electric cars?
We do.
Who wants to electrify our economy?
We do.
Who wants union jobs and social justice?
We do.
This is our moment, folks. We've let people push this off for the last 30 years. We all saw it coming. Our generation knew this problem was a problem from the 70s onward. I built an electric car, a solar car, that we raced across the United States in 1993. We have waited too long. We can't wait any longer. This is our moment to build back better. This is our moment to meet the challenges that we will be judged by our children and our grandchildren and future generations. We can't fail, and we can't wait. Let's get this done and let's build back better.
All right.
It is my honor to introduce my friend and my colleague, the ambassador from Nambe, Ben Ray Lujan, a great new leader on climate who's been there every step of the way and who's going to help us get this across the finish line. Ben Ray Lujan.
Thank you, Brother Martin. It's good to be with family and friends here, right? That's what this is about, us coming together. I don't know what more I can add other than our perspective from the West. Senator Booker covered it. You know, it's getting harder for families that have long depended on a little bit of sustenance coming from that ground, being able to grow the food that they depend on, to feed their families, Fires are getting hotter, more destructive. Drought just seems to have become a way of life. Can't let that happen. We can't let that thinking just settle in such that lives have changed without taking significant action. And we have that opportunity right now. It's right in front of us. Infrastructure investments, being smarter about the way we do things, not just in America, but leading by example around the world. That's what's at stake right now. What's the United States going to do? What will we lay down as part of our contribution to reducing emissions, doing things cleaner, ending this notion that pollution is just going to be a way of life and continue to hit communities of color harder than anybody else? My Native American brothers and sisters, my Hispanic brothers and sisters, and Black brothers and sisters who have higher rates of asthma and respiratory illness and ailments than anybody else because of proximity to where this pollution is. We got to do things better. Amen. Whether it's in rural America or in the big cities across our beautiful country, why can't we just have utility companies say, hey, we're going to find a cleaner way to do things with the sun and with the wind, and we're going to solve the storage crisis that we're still facing in America through the use of technology. We can do this. We can be smarter about the use of vehicles and technology and public education. That's what this is all about. So let's get this done. Let's get Build Back Better done. Let's invest in America. Let's create good union-paying jobs across the country. Let's put a whole new army of civilian climate workforce to work. Let's get this done, America. We need your help to do it. And someone that's helping to lead that charge, one of my friends, our friends, in the United States House of Representatives, a neighbor just south of where we are here in Virginia, and that's none other than Donald McKeach. And everyone, put your hands together and help welcome him.
Brother Booker's got us in church today.
Yes, amen.
But I want to thank Ben Ray for his comments. You know, I worked with Ben Ray in the House, and all I can say is wherever Ben Ray goes, there's a majority. You know, as soon as he got his majority in the House, he ran over to the Senate and got a majority there. But with that majority comes responsibility. And we have a responsibility, as others have said, to meet this moment, to meet this challenge now by passing Build Back Better. But to my friends at LCV and to my other activists that are here, if I can put down my law degree and pick up my MDiv for a second, let me urge you to not grow weary in well-doing. Because once we pass Build Back Better, there's still more work to do. Because you see, that's all reconciliation. But we're still going to have to make sure that we do things like pass EJ for All, Environmental Justice for All Act, to make sure that our tribal communities, our indigenous communities, our Hispanic communities, our African American communities, and the poor have an opportunity to be at the front end of this economic revolution that will be brought on by this green economy that we're about to create. That they have an opportunity to get the jobs, and also they have the opportunity to be the entrepreneurs of the 21st century, yes, sir, and lead this green revolution. We also have an obligation, and I'm so proud of Senator Booker that he allowed me to work with him on legacy pollution to make sure that we atone for the sins of the past.
Amen.
And that we clean up in these communities the Superfund sites that he cited, get rid of the lead paint, get rid of the lead pipes. All these things must be done because we know, I had the privilege of working with Kathy Castor as chair of the Select Committee on the Climate Crisis, and we thank the speaker for putting together that committee. But we know that we cannot address the climate crisis without helping these groups that I've cited, these EJ communities. I was so proud to work with Kathy Castor again and others in the representing President, then candidate Biden, now President Biden, as we worked with Senator Saunders and his crew to put together a package that Democrats could rally around. And EJ, the EJ communities were at the center of that because the President and Senator Saunders both realized that you cannot address the climate crisis without making sure that this core group of people are taken care of. And so now as we move forward, as we pass Build Back Better, And as we do what we can, given the constraints of the Byrd rule and this, that, and the third that go on in the Senate, as we deal with those constraints, we keep those groups at the core of that discussion as well. But then as we turn the page, as we look to tomorrow, don't grow weary in well-doing. We still have work to do.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen. And I'm happy to turn this over. I'm happy to bring to the podium a senator from that other Commonwealth, Massachusetts, the great Senator Markey.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you, Congressman. Thank you for your great leadership. Thanks to everyone for being here today. In 2009, the House of Representatives passed a bill, the Waxman-Markey bill, that reduced greenhouse gases by 80% by the year 2050. Barack Obama went to Copenhagen in November of 2009 and made that promise to the world. But Mitch McConnell and the oil and gas and coal companies, they had another plan. And in 2010, they killed that bill. They killed that promise. Joe Biden is going to Glasgow, and he is going to make a promise to the rest of the world. And that promise is that the United States will reduce by 50% all of its greenhouse gases by the year 2030. The House of Representatives has done its job once again. Now the Senate must do its job. The Senate must put together a climate package that is something that Joe Biden can say to the rest of the world, that we are the leaders and not the laggards. Because you cannot preach temperance from a bar stool. You cannot tell the rest of the world what to do if you as a country are not doing it yourselves. So this is our moment. And we have to ensure that we have the tax breaks for wind and solar and all electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids and for battery storage technologies, transmission systems that Ron Wyden for 2.5 years has promised will be in legislation that passes the United States Senate. We are going to fight for that. We need a civilian climate corps so we unleash a generation of young people who will be able to go out and do this work. We need a climate bank that will leverage in every city and town all across the country the kinds of small projects that leaders want to have the financing to implement. And we need environmental justice. We need to ensure that at the center of this bill is environmental justice. That's why Cori Bush and I have the language in that we'll have an environmental justice mapping bill for the whole country, because you can't solve a problem if you can't see it. We have to get that done. We must pass that legislation. That is where we are. You cannot negotiate with storms. You cannot negotiate with droughts. You cannot negotiate with a melting Arctic. You have to work to pass the legislation that puts the preventative care in place. That's where we are. The planet is running a fever. There are no emergency rooms for planets. We have to pass this legislation now. We do not have an option. Failure is not an option. So for us, at this time, we know that climate change is the economic, environmental, healthcare, national security, and moral issue of our time. And the United States Senate will respond. We will put together a package that matches the magnitude of this threat. I cannot thank all of my colleagues for everything that they are doing, all of the activists here, the Sunrise Movement, the young people who have risen up. They have a big IOU for us to have won the House, the Senate, and the presidency. We must deliver, and we must deliver now. Let me now turn and recognize our great chairman and leader of the Senate Finance Committee, the great senator from the state of Oregon, Ron Wyden. Come on up here, Ronnie. Oh, my goodness. Who's that guy? Now, I was at a rally this weekend
where it said, no climate, no deal. I'm going to go a step further. No climate, no deal, no compromising on the future of these wonderful young people. That's what this is really all about. And there is nothing more exciting than on a pretty day than coming on out and talking about taxes. A couple people think I'm serious. Look, I'm going to avoid the root canal aspect of this tax debate because it's hard to follow. But what the discussion is all about is whose side are you on? Are you on the side of business as usual? Well, while all the power people, particularly the fossil people, got the brakes? Or are you for a very new system?
New system.
And here's what we're doing. We took the old system. Thank you, Preacher Booker. We took the old system that'd been around for 100 years, and we put it in the dustbin of history.
Man, all right.
And we said the future is going to be clean energy, clean transportation, and energy efficiency. And then we're going to yoke it to something really understandable. And that is, the more you reduce carbon emissions, the greater your tax savings. It is long, long past time. And that gets us to 73%, folks. 73% of the target we want to get to on power. So you've had a lot of really exciting speakers. When somebody comes up and talks about taxes, I don't pretend that it is the most glamorous topic in the world. But I'll tell you, at the end of the day, I'll tell you, the lobbyists are spending all their time on that. The lobbyists are all trying to pack every single favor that they can possibly pack into this package that's going forward. So what this comes down to on taxes, particularly rewarding clean energy rather than the sources of yesteryear, and the whole package is, it is people power, all of these wonderful people, up against fossil power and everybody else who's got clout.
Fight the power.
Let's go. Let's go. Whose side are we on? Are we on people power?
People power.
I couldn't quite hear it.
People power.
I can almost hear it.
People power.
Make sure over the next couple of weeks you get that message out. We're making videos, for example. You know who's going to pay for some of this? The billionaires. The billionaires haven't been paying taxes for years and years. So a big part of the future for these young people is going to be paid for with billionaires paying their fair share. It's about time for that. It's about time for clean energy. Welcome, Congresswoman Stansberry, who's going to tell it.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Who's ready for climate action now?
Yeah.
What do we need to do? We need climate action now. I'm Representative Melanie Stansberry, and I'm here today because we recognize that our country, our planet, our globe are at a crisis point. And this Build Back Better Act is our opportunity to show the world that we mean business. In less than 2 weeks, our president, President Joe Biden, will touch down in Glasgow. And when he steps off of Air Force One, we need to show that the United States means business, and we will make good on our promises to take climate action now. The science is clear. Climate change is here, and we have to do everything we can before we cross a planetary tipping point. For those of you that have never been to my home state of New Mexico, I want to point out that 3 out of 5 of our congressional delegation are here with you today. And that is because New Mexico and our deserts and our fragile ecosystems in the Southwest are ground zero for climate change. In New Mexico, our indigenous communities and our historic, traditional Hispano and other communities have lived sustainably for generations on the land.
El agua es la vida. Water is life, and water is ground zero for climate change. If our communities are going to survive and thrive and live resiliently for generations to come, our job as climate activists, as public policymakers, and as representatives here in the United States Congress is to ensure that our communities can live resiliently for generations to come, to pass meaningful climate legislation, to pass the Build Back Better Act with meaningful carbon reductions, to invest in the resilience of our communities, and to ensure that our communities have the tools to reimagine and rebuild their own economies, to rebuild their local communities, and build a future that is more just, more equitable, and more sustainable. And that is our job inside this building, to make sure that President Biden, when he arrives at COP in less than 2 weeks, shows up with something to show the world that America is ready to lead and will continue to lead in the fight against climate change. So our time is now, and that is why we are here. That is why we are fighting for climate justice. That is why we need the Senate to act, and that is why we have to pass the Build Back Better Act now, because now is the time, and our communities are depending on us. So with that, I want to thank you all for coming out today, and let's do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to announce to you one of the greatest leaders of all time in the United States Senator, the man that sits right behind the great state of New Jersey from the great state of Delaware. I bring up the one and the only chairman, senator, more titles than the Newark Public Library, Carper.
Please remain standing. How do you feel? Well, we feel good, but we're worried, aren't we? We feel good, but we're worried. I've had the privilege of knowing and working with our President Joe Biden for, gosh, 40 years. One of my favorite things I've heard him say is this. When he hears the words global warming, climate change, the words that he thinks of are jobs. That's what he thinks of, jobs. Good paying jobs, building the infrastructure that'll support electric vehicles and hydrogen-powered vehicles. Jobs of deploying windmill farms all the way from Rhode Island down to Virginia and further. Jobs to help us take water and through a process called electrolysis to create clean hydrogen. What do we do with the clean hydrogen? We reduce emissions from cars. We reduce emissions from trucks. We reduce emissions from industrial activity. Just with clean hydrogen, that's what we can do. There are any number of great ideas in the Build Back Better plan, any number of great ideas. The question is, do we have the strength? Do we have the temerity? Do we have the durability? Do we have the energy to take what is, I'm going to use a football term here. You know when you're receiving team on a kickoff, you march the team and march down the field, and you get to the 50-yard line, you're in the other team's territory. When you get down to the 20-yard line, if I'm not mistaken, you're in the red zone. 20 yards further than that is the end zone. And I also think of that as the green zone. And where we need to be is in the green zone, and we need to be there now.
Go green.
Most important ingredient in the success of any organization I've ever been a part of is leadership. I've been privileged to be a naval flight officer 23 years, last Vietnam veteran serving in the United States Senate. Been privileged to be Delaware's governor and to lead the nation's governor. The most important ingredient in the success of any organization I've ever been a part of, I don't care what a squadron in the Navy, I don't care if it's a business, I don't care if it's a government, I don't care if it's a state, most important ingredient is always leadership. That is the key. And we are receiving extraordinary leadership from Joe Biden. About 2 years ago, a number of us in the Senate and the House gathered in the House chamber, right down the way, right behind me, 100 yards or so. And we had a special guest, and he came to us from France. And he was and is the president of France. His name is Macron. Let me hear you say Macron. Let me hear you say bienvenue. Go ahead, bienvenue. That means welcome, if you didn't know. And he came and he spoke that day in English, and probably better English than some of us. And he said these words, and I'm going to close with these words, if I could. This is our planet. This is our planet. It's the only one we're going to have. This is a planet that is a gift from God. And we have received this gift, and it's our responsibility to turn it over to the next generation, not as good as we've inherited, but better. And Macron said these words. He said, there's no planet B. There is no planet B. This is it. And we've got to make it count. Right. American people are counting us. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's just do it. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chair Carper. Thank you to all of our incredible speakers today for their powerful words, for their tireless leadership. They have been very clear. We are going to get this done. Let's end with a final quick chant. I say climate, you say action. Climate!
Action!
Climate!
Action!
Climate!
Action!
Thank you very much.
Senator Carper will stay and answer all questions.
Yeah, we want to pull it up, obviously.